What we're going to talk about is looking at injuries within health plans. And both of us have no financial disclosures. These are the objectives that we're really going to share with you and focus on as we move forward. And as we start, part of what we've really worked on is increasing the understanding of the fact that injuries are preventable, particularly with health plans that may or may not have even thought about what we're doing around injuries, or the fact that the majority of them are preventable and that we do have evidence-based programs to address it. Also, to really look at the role that injuries play within our healthcare system. Death is just the tip of the iceberg. Actually, the number one reason for admission to ERs, for kids particularly, and actually young adults, is injuries. It's also one of the major reasons for hospital admission. And since most of these injuries are preventable, think of the amount of money we could actually save the healthcare system if we could figure out how to prevent these and we had a stronger focus on prevention upstream. In thinking about injury prevention, it's really important to think about it in the social ecological model, to think about it from the individual out, so that we're not just focusing on that individual case, but we're actually looking at what's happening within the community. And I think it was really interesting as we looked at and we heard about what was happening in India and looking at the whole system, really looking at what we can do and changing it at all those different levels. The Surgeon General, Everett Koop, said back in the 1980s that if disease were killing our children in the proportions of injuries are, people would be outraged and demand that this killer be stopped. In actuality, we've never had the funding or real focus on injury prevention. And if we think about it, we still don't today. This is just a chart that looks like, and converting the cost since 2005 is the most recent we have, of the cost related to deaths and the numbers. So if we look at this, we can see in the pyramid that deaths are really quite cheap, and we really have a small number of them, and that where we begin to really have major costs is around hospitalizations in those ED visits. I think it would be interesting to look at these infants that you were talking about in Rhode Island. What number actually came in related to injuries that could have been prevented? We spent a little bit of time going back and looking at the different injuries that occur and the primary reasons that children by ages are admitted to the hospital. This looks at children under the age of 5. And what you will see here is we have falls, poisonings, hot objects, motor vehicle, suffocation, and drowning. So if we really think about the solutions we have, we can really prevent the majority of those occurring. So it's really beginning to look at how to do that and how can we engage health plans in doing that. In about 2009-2010, the Center for Disease Control, CDC, released a National Action Plan for Child Injury Prevention. This was a plan that really looks at the prevention of child injury over 6 domains. But the primary goals of that was to raise awareness, to highlight preventable solutions, and to mobilize the nation to really take some action, and all of the players in doing that. Our project focused on one of the 6 domains, which is in the health system and healthcare area, and 2 of those particular goals. The goal, identifying opportunities in the healthcare reform to improve child injury prevention, with a particular focus on the objective, implementing child injury prevention programs through community-based prevention funding and through Bright Futures. The second goal was to integrate child injury prevention into the medical home movement. And our project could look at all 3 of these, but we really focused on promoting safety devices like child safety seats as durable medical equipment so that they can be prescribed and are reimbursable expenses. The National Action Plan funded 9 pilot projects, of which ours is one. And one of the goals of that was to test the feasibility of implementing specific actions within the National Action Plan so that they could be replicated and move forward, and then to identify potential next steps and avenues. And I'm now going to turn it over to Catherine, who's going to talk about what we've learned about partnering with health plans. Catherine?
Thanks, Sally, and thanks for having us here today to talk about our project. We're really excited to work with the EDC and with the CDC on this project, and the fact that the CDC recognized health insurers and health plans as important partners in child injury prevention. These are just some of the reasons why we think health plans are important partners. Their ability to support the use of anticipatory guidance such as Bright Futures, their access to millions of Americans through both public and private insurance, that they can really inform families about the toll of injuries. As Sally mentioned, there is an evidence base for some prevention practices, and health plans can really share those practices with providers and offer training and education opportunities. And Sally reviewed the domains of the National Action Plan. We think that they can play a role in each of those domains. And she also mentioned the cost. And we really think that supporting child injury prevention does promote health and well-being of the health plan members, which in turn does reduce healthcare spending, which we know is a big concern for health plans and employers these days in terms of decreasing the healthcare utilization, particularly for those emergency room visits and hospitalizations. So for our project, we worked with Blue Cross Blue Shield health plans. We focused in on 8 plans that cover more than 19 million lives in 7 different states. The results from our final project will be shared with 15 plans that we work with that cover 88 million women, children, and families, but will also be shared more broadly with health insurers and maternal and child health stakeholders across the country. So the first part of our project, we conducted an environmental scan to really understand health plans' capacity to implement some of the activities contained in the National Action Plan. As Sally mentioned, we focused on prevention programs, Bright Futures, and promoting safety devices. So some of our results were that we found, unfortunately, only 2 plans indicated that they were currently engaged in child injury prevention efforts. One was through the Nurse Family Partnership and their focus on educating during the home visits on injury prevention. And the second was promoting Bright Futures. Some of the barriers were that the health plans indicated it's just not a priority for their health plan, or they don't have staff for organization or implementation. One said that it's not seen as a problem in their community. In terms of offsetting the cost of the devices, we found only one was offering some discounts through a program called Safe Beginnings, and a lot of them had said they had never even thought about offering such a discount. Some of the barriers to offsetting the cost, again, not a high priority, think that it would be too expensive to do that, or that the anticipated benefit was too small. Only one plan indicated that they were collecting emergency room data or analyzing data on injury prevention. We also wanted to find out how they're communicating with providers to explore opportunities for how they could better promote Bright Futures and other types of education and training. So we found that they're all communicating directly with their providers in some means, but that only 2 were currently actually sharing information about Bright Futures. So just a summary of some of the barriers. It was a low priority. There's competing wellness priorities such as obesity and tobacco, lack of financial or other staff resources, some discounts, no reimbursement for these types of safety devices. And we really felt a lack of understanding on the ROI for child injury prevention. So in response to the results of our scan, we put together some what we felt were opportunities for action by the health plans going forward. We felt there was really an opportunity to educate plans about the cost savings of childhood injury prevention investments, and that we did find out about some health plan activities that we could facilitate peer-to-peer learning on some of these programs. We could do more education around discount programs or rewards for child seat purchases, and even partnering with organizations like Safe Kids to teach proper installation. So as a result of our scan and just from two of the plans becoming aware of the CDC's leadership and work on this topic, we did have some initial outcomes that one plan said they did, going forward, plan to address it within their pediatric care program that was being developed for this year. And one of the health plans thought that one of the easiest ways they could work on this was through their foundation going forward and integrating that into some of their broader programs focused on childhood obesity and working with the schools and incorporating child injury prevention as a specific focus area. So the second part of our project was to hold two meetings with nine health plans, representatives from the CDC, some other organizations that work with folks in the public sector to really discuss the results of the scan and to obtain some additional perspective from the plans about the feasibility of implementing some of these strategies going forward, as well as sharing some of the peer examples that we learned about. So I'm going to go through a few of the examples that were highlighted during these meetings. One is from the Healthcare Service Corporation, which operates Blue Cross plans in four states. And they have this program called Be Smart, Be Well, which is video storytelling that educates people about health conditions through stories from real people, kids, teens, from all backgrounds. And they've partnered with a lot of organizations, but specifically have partnered with the CDC, and they have videos on their website focusing on traumatic brain injury as well as teen driving. The second example was the new approach I mentioned by the Highmark Foundation to incorporate child injury prevention as a specific category of funding going forward. We also reviewed and discussed some additional opportunities that we felt were low cost for the plans that they could consider implementing going forward. One is using social media, Facebook, Twitter, to share messages with their members. This is a specific example called Motherhood that's through the health plan's, you know, prenatal maternity care program, communicating with moms. We had someone from the American Academy of Pediatrics speak during our meeting about how they can better promote Bright Futures, and some of the plans are using Bright Futures as part of their quality improvement program, which we think is a great opportunity to share that information with the providers, and the providers get points towards you know, the QI programs that can lead to additional reimbursement by completing some of those Bright Futures modules that include child injury as a focus. AAP has a fantastic website and an iPhone, an iPhone app that provides great information that the health plans don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's something they can share with their members, as well as the Family Voices Family Pocket Guide, which is also fantastic. I use that myself for information for my son about his well visits. Some other things are offering rewards for safety seat purchases. This is an example from Minnesota that they offer a reward card for up to $50 towards the purchase of a car seat. There's also opportunities to share information with employers about the cost of injuries. This is, you know, pay a little now or a whole lot later. And these are things that employers can include. This example is from Blue Cross of Tennessee. So some of the outcomes, we, you know, surveyed the plans again at the end of our meeting about, you know, which of these opportunities do they really think they could focus on going forward, and how can our organizations and the CDC best help them to implement child unintentional injury activities. So really incorporating things into current programs like prenatal, maternity, pediatric care, they really felt that they could have the most impact through member and provider education materials, as well as connecting members to discount programs. Some other ideas that were discussed are partnering with the CDC, state and local health departments, really using some of the data that we put together on the high cost to inform their programs. You know, I mentioned the data from the beginning that one plan said this is just not a problem in our state, but obviously it's a problem in every state. There's data out there from Sally's group. The Children's Safety Network has great fact sheets for each state that we were able to share with the plans and that we hope they'll use going forward to really make the case for investing in child injury. Sally mentioned there's opportunities to frame it as a public health issue and really bring it to the attention of the health plans. Through health reform, there's additional opportunities as, you know, more health insurance is being sold direct to individuals. There's retail clinics, kiosks. A lot of the Blue plans have retail stores in different states. There's additional opportunities for touch points to talk about child injury. So our next steps are that we're developing an action plan, you know, based on our two events and our scan, and it'll be something that we'll publish publicly that will highlight opportunities and examples to adopt actions in support of the CDC's National Action Plan. We'll also be doing a final report to CDC to discuss where they might be able to make future investments or facilitate future collaborations on this topic going forward. So we'd love to hear your thoughts, and you can definitely contact us if you'd like to receive a copy of our final report. Thank you.